Good morning and welcome to another edition of 7x Sports. I am Al Anderson, your host. Got a lot of great topics we're going to talk about today. We have the end of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which the last game was not that good, but it was a great tournament. We're going to talk about that. Going to talk about my Golden State Warriors, the things that they've been doing over the last 12 games. How this team has been transformed back to the juggernaut that they were the last 2 years. We're going to talk about the Cowboys and the retirement of Tony Romo. How does Tony Romo fit into the pantheon of great quarterbacks? How does he even fit in the pantheon of great Cowboy quarterbacks? Does he fit? Is he one of the greatest of all time? There's been a lot of debate about that, and I'm going to give you my take on that. And also, going to be talking about my St. Louis Cardinals. Season started on Sunday against the Chicago Cubs. They're now split that series with the Cardinals winning the first one and the Cubs winning yesterday 2-1. So we're going to talk about the Cardinals and their contract extensions that they gave two of their players, and I'm going to give you my take on that. But to start it off, we want to just talk about that NBA, man. That NBA is getting hot and heavy. We get into the end of the season. It's about to go down in the sense that we're getting ready to get into those playoffs. It's skin tight in the Eastern Conference. Tonight, if you're listening tonight, this is Wednesday. If you're listening on tonight, ESPN, Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston Celtics. Now, the Cavs have won their last three straight. And LeBron is doing the usual LeBron stuff, talking about how it's not a really important game. The Boston Celtics are saying the same thing, that this is just a game, one of 82. But don't be fooled. Tonight is going to be something special. Cavaliers are in trouble. Right now, the Cavaliers are sitting at that one spot. They're virtually tied with Boston. They're sitting at that number one spot. If the season ended today, Cavaliers would play the Indiana Pacers in the first round. And I don't know if you saw that double overtime game the other night between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers, but man, PG-13 Paul George was giving them the business. And I don't think the Cavaliers want to see the Indiana Pacers in a seven-game series. Now, some people, you know, they're ringing the LeBron bell like he's going to turn it on. But I've been watching some of the body language with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Unlike a lot of guys, I don't watch ESPN just for the highlights. I watch the games, man. I watch all of the NBA games that I can, especially the ones of consequence. I don't take someone else's take on what's going on in the games. I actually like to watch the games and see what's going on. I caught that game starting with about 5 minutes left in the regulations in that Cleveland Cavaliers-Indiana Pacers game. And, man, let me tell you something. The Cavaliers don't have anything to stop PG-13, and it's going to be a problem going into the postseason if the Cavaliers have to play the Indiana Pacers in that first round. If they drop to that second spot, they're going to have to play the Chicago Bulls. I think they won't have much problem with Chicago Bulls. I don't see D-Wade putting on a cape and coming back and playing against his boy. So the only thing that can change, we got a few days left. There are still three teams sitting right outside of that eighth spot, Miami, Charlotte, and Detroit, sitting outside of the eighth spot. So that can kind of move around. Miami is only a half game back from Indiana. Charlotte is a game and a half behind Indiana. And Detroit Pistons are pulling up the rear, 15 games back from Cleveland, and two and a half full games back from Indiana Pacers. So the last six games going to be really special to see what happens in the Eastern Conference. But those Cleveland Cavaliers are in trouble. There was a report this morning that Tristan Thompson will be out of tonight's game. Apparently he hurt his thumb in last night's game, and it's going to be given an MRI. X-rays were negative, according to ESPN reports, and they're going to be looking at his thumb. He'll have an MRI today. If the Cleveland Cavaliers lose Tristan Thompson, they're in big trouble. They have nothing in the middle. They recalled Larry Sanders from the D League, cat that hasn't played in a few years. He will not be able to do anything in the playoffs, and they will be in real, real trouble without Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson's the only player on the Cavaliers that's played every game. This will be his first game he's missed, I believe, in the last few seasons. And so that would be a major blow. If they don't have any protection, rim protection on the inside, that rebounding that Tristan Thompson gives them, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. They got some big guys, but those guys are perimeter guys. The Channing Frye's, those guys are perimeter guys. And if you try to put Kevin Love full-time down there in the post, I know you say he did it in Minnesota. It's a little different when you're doing it in the playoffs. And so they will be in trouble. You move Kevin Love down in the paint, they're going to have a hard time scoring because they need him on the outside. I don't see Kyle Korver being able to give them anything. J.R. Smith is J.R. Smith. He's going to hit his threes. Channing Frye is going to hit his threes. Shumpert's going to hit an occasional three. They got some cats that can shoot, but if they can't defend that middle, they will be in trouble. And even if they make it through the East, they will have absolutely no chance against any team coming out of the West, especially my Golden State Warriors. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens going forward in the Eastern Conference. If you look at the at the Western Conference, and I'm going to come back to Cleveland in a second, but I just want to update you on the standings. If you look at the Western Conference, it's pretty much set, except with the exception of the number eight seed. The number eight seed, it's going to be neck and neck going down the wire with Portland and Denver. Denver is only a half game back from Portland. Portland plays. They've been fading. They've lost their last two games. They are 7-3 in their last 10, but they've been fading. And Denver could catch them. I hope that doesn't happen. I would love to see that first round matchup of Portland against Golden State. I always liked the way that McCollum and Lillard give Golden State the blues. So as a Golden State fan, I would love to see them play that first round against the Portland Trail Blazers. I believe if they go against Denver Nuggets, that's going to be four straight, and you're going to be giving the Golden State Warriors a lot of rest. So they are pretty much locked in those seeds. There may be a little movement at the 4-5. There's a full game separating Utah at 4 and the Clippers at 5. Maybe a little movement there. Oklahoma City is 2.5 games back from the fourth spot. Now, I don't put anything past the Oklahoma City Thunder, especially with Russell Westbrook, who I believe is the MVP of the season. Congratulations to him in tying the great Oscar Robertson, the Big O, with 41 triple doubles in the season. They could make a push. They could make a push to that five spot. I don't think they can catch Utah, but that would be something special if Russ can get them over the hump and then into that five or four spot. He is the MVP. But the top three are set. Number one, of course, you know who it is. It's the Golden State Warriors. They already have 64 wins. They just broke the Chicago Bulls' record of the most wins in three consecutive seasons combined. I believe they're at 204. Congratulations to the Golden State Warriors. The other night, Steph Curry hit his 300th three-pointer this season. If you're counting, he's over 700 three-point shots made in the last two seasons. That's unconscious. Those numbers, you don't even understand what those numbers are saying. That is just an amazing, amazing feat. San Antonio Spurs are 3.5 games back. They will be locked in that number two spot because Houston Rockets are quite a few games back from that number two spot. They don't have enough games to catch. So that 1, 2, and 3 spot is locked. Tick tock, the game is locked. Just to let you know, Golden State Warriors are 1-12 in a row, but we'll come back to my Golden State Warriors, 10-0 in the last 10. I will come back to them, but I want to go back real quick to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've been having a little trouble in paradise. If you got to see the highlights of the game against Indiana, the double overtime game that they pulled out against Indiana, you may have just saw the dust up between LeBron James and Tristan Thompson when Paul George got another strong move around to the left to shoot a three. was a problem with the switch. LeBron did what LeBron does and blame other players. But this time, Tristan Thompson wasn't having none. I was actually watching the game and watching the body language. And this is one of those times where you have to be very careful. LeBron has been used to on this Cleveland Cavaliers team and just with Mario Chalmers on that Miami Heat team. He's been used to being able to holler at players and they cower to him and he be their big brother. But Tristan Thompson is not about that life. Tristan Thompson is paid. Tristan Thompson has been there for every game. And this particular time, he said he wasn't having it. And if you look at that stuff closely, he even told Tyronn Lue, this is my interpretation. I'm looking. It looked like Tyronn. He told Tyronn Lue, get your boy. You need to get your boy. You need to get your boy. And he kind of put LeBron in his place. Now, the big LeBron fans will be like, no, he ain't put LeBron in his face. You know LeBron? Yeah. And LeBron came out afterwards saying, you know, I have to be more mindful of how I talk to my guys during the game. You know, I can't show them up. Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying, LeBron. But the bottom line is you got fronted, man. You tried to front a grown man. And you can't be hollering at grown men, man, especially on national television. Can't be just hollering at grown men. And so LeBron kind of saw what the deal was. And so I want them to succeed. I want to see those cats playing my Golden State Warriors again. I don't want any excuses. I don't want any of that. So I'm looking forward to that. But that Cleveland Cavaliers team, man, look, you're going to hear it here first. And I've been saying a lot of stuff. I want you all to check the tape. That's why I said it. I remember when I talked about Gonzaga making it to the finals. But I digress. Check my tape, man. Just listen. I kind of know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm a fan, but I'm an educated fan. But look, let me tell you what's going to happen. If Cleveland Cavaliers don't make it to the finals, Tyronn Lue's gone. Yeah, Tyronn Lue's going to be gone. He's going to be up because they're going to have to blame somebody. They can't blame LeBron. Tyronn Lue will be up. David Griffin may be up too. GM there. He is up for a contract. And look, let's just be honest. Daniel Gilbert rolled the dice. He brought LeBron back. He got two finals appearances and one trophy. Daniel Gilbert is making his money. So he's not really concerned anymore about making LeBron happy or all that. So LeBron coming out saying David Griffin needs to get an extension and all that. Look, if they don't make it to the finals this year, if they don't make it to the finals this year, Tyronn Lue is going to be up. David Griffin is going to be up. And then once those dominoes start falling, you never know what's going to happen with LeBron. You never know what's going to happen with LeBron. So watch that situation very closely. I'm excited. The playoff starts on April 15th. I'm excited to watch what's going to go down in the NBA in these finals. It's going to be some great matchups, man. If the season ended today, that in the Eastern Conference, it will be Cleveland and Indiana in that first round, Boston and Chicago, Toronto and Atlanta, Washington and Milwaukee. That Eastern Conference, man, look, let the Cavaliers trip, and you got three teams that I'm looking at right now that can make a run. Boston definitely can make the run. Crowder's elbow is cool, so he's going to be fine. He had a little problem with that, but he's going to be fine. So, look, you got Boston. You got Toronto, man. When DeRozan and Lowry, this might be their time. You know, they add to DeRozan and Lowry, this might be their time. This might be the time. You got the Washington Wizards, man, and with Wall and Beal. Look, Otto Porter Jr. from Missouri. You know, he's from Missouri, right? Yeah. He's from a little town in Missouri. You get those guys rolling, anything can happen. You got the Greek Freak in Milwaukee, man. They may sneak up, man. That cat get one good run in a seven-game series, and they may make some noise. Atlanta, Chicago, and Indiana, they just don't have what it takes. They a dollar short, man. A day late and a dollar short. You know, Indiana added Lance Stephenson, who did a Lance Stephenson last night. Against Toronto, and them cats lost their mind. I don't know what was wrong with them. But, yeah, Lance going to hit a couple of big shots, man, but Indiana's just not there. I mean, you got Monte Ellis. You know, I'm looking. I was watching the game the other night. You know, Monte still does Monte, but Paul George needed more. He needs more. So that's the Eastern Conference, man. In the Western Conference, man, look here. There are two teams in the Western Conference. Don't ever get it confused. Don't let everybody get, even my son. My son, AJ, is a huge L.A. Clippers fan, and every year is going to be the L.A. Clippers time. But let me tell you something, man. The Clippers right now are in the 5 seed. That's another team. If they don't make it to the Western Conference Finals, that's another team that's going to have some issues going into the offseason, and you may see some big changes there. Doc is not going anywhere. The money is just too high. Doc is going to be like Popovich. He's going to be right there. They're going to keep winning their 50 games, you know, and they're going to be there, and Doc is going to keep his job. But, man, there's going to be some changes in that team. I see somebody got to go. Blake got to go, or Chris Paul got to go. They got to do something different with that team. It's funny. The Clippers are just like the San Antonio Spurs in the sense that they're older players they're going to keep. So your Jamal Crawford is never going to leave. He's going to be like your Ginobili, who's going to always be there until they don't want to play anymore. Chris Paul is going to be just like Tony Parker. He's going to be there until he doesn't want to play anymore. You know, they have those players. DeAndre Jordan is not going anywhere. He's going to be – he had his chance to leave. Dallas was real close to getting him. And until the infamous Spade playing eating at at DeAndre Jordan's mama's house in the 12th hour kept him in L.A. So you'll see some changes with the L.A. Clipper team. But, man, so the West is going to be Golden State. If the season ended today, it'll be Golden State against the Portland Trail Blazers. You have San Antonio Spurs against the Memphis Grizzlies. That could be something special. They went to overtime last night. You know, David Fizdale is going to be a great coach, but the last two plays of that game were just that is coaching, man. And we'll talk about coaching when I get to the NCAA. The last two plays of that game, the play that got the tied the game for the San Antonio Spurs with Pau Gasol throwing the lob into LaMarcus Aldridge after Kawhi Leonard ran that screen across the free throw line, taking three defenders with him, leaving he didn't even pick, man. LaMarcus Aldridge didn't even do a pick. He just kind of got small and then got big again. That's poor coaching. That's poor coaching. Then they got a timeout. It's 1.5 seconds left in the game. You got a cat in Vince Carter who's nothing but threes. And you got Z-Bo on the floor, and you inbound the ball to Z-Bo for a three-point. Why didn't you flip that, man, and Z-Bo into Vince Carter with a little more bounce, a little more height on that jump shot, and then they end up losing in overtime. So that's going to be a good series, though. That San Antonio-Memphis series will be a good series. Those teams mirror each other. Mike Conley's missed some games, which Mike Conley does. So it's kind of hard to tell until we know what's going on with Conley. Dude, that and ladies who are listening, if it holds today, the first round matchup that I will get my popcorn ready, as T.O. says, is that Houston Rockets at 3 playing the number 6 Oklahoma City Thunder. Man, them games going to be like 150 to 145. Man, that's going to be some basketball, old ABA running up and down the floor, shooting them threes. Look, Russ can't guard. Harden can't guard Russ. So that will just be incredible. If it holds today and you got Utah and L.A., that's going to be one that I will sleep through. Late games, I ain't going to watch none of them games. So I'm just going to let you know. My eyes will be, you know, when I'm not watching my Golden State Warriors, my eyes will be on that 3-6. If it holds as it is today, that 3-6 matchup, 7-game series against Houston, against Oklahoma City. And, man, look here. Look here. I would not bet against Russell Westbrook beating the Houston Rockets by himself to make it into the conference semifinals, where he's going to have to take that L against the San Antonio Spurs. But wouldn't it be something if Russ made a run, beat Houston, beat San Antonio, and the Western Conference Finals again this year are the Golden State Warriors against the Oklahoma City Thunder? Let me tell you something. If Russell Westbrook can take this team to the Western Conference Finals, that man, he's a bad man. He's a bad man. And just a little side note, on Russell Westbrook. You know, Russell Westbrook is the player that everybody thought LeBron was going to be. He's doing what everybody thought LeBron would do. You know, averaging a triple-double, part of that is wanting to average a triple-double. Part of that is wanting to get assists. Part of that is not being selfish. People call Russell Westbrook, some people call him a selfish player. Russell Westbrook is not a selfish player. Because if Russell Westbrook was a selfish player, he'd be averaging 50 points a game this year. If it was just about being a selfish player, he would be averaging 50 points a game this year. Because he's the point guard, and he don't have to pass the ball. So he is not a selfish player. And I'm growing to appreciate his game. And so that would be really interesting. He is what everybody thought LeBron was going to be. What I hoped Kobe would do in his last years in the league. I always thought that Kobe, too, could average a triple-double. But Russell Westbrook is changing the game. And I respect the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I greatly respect and enjoy watching Russell Westbrook play. So that's your NBA rundown. We should find out later today what the deal is with Tristan Thompson and his thumb. That would be bad news. And for some of y'all who are not keeping up with the Golden State because you're a hater, you know who's coming back this weekend, right? Yeah, Kevin Durant is coming back this weekend. It's about to be on and popping. Kevin Durant is coming back this weekend. Now there are people going around, what's going to happen with the Golden State? It's going to be a problem. Their whole thing is, you know, you got chemistry, blah blah blah. Those are foolish people speaking. Some of it are people just trying to start some kind of storylines. I heard Brad Daugherty the other day talking about Steve Kerr is going to have an issue because, you know, what do you do with Kevin Durant? What do you mean, what do you do with Kevin Durant? They were 50-9 when Kevin Durant was playing every day. They were 50-9 when Kevin Durant was playing every day. What do you mean, what are you going to do when Kevin Durant comes back? You going to play Kevin Durant? Because, you know, as much as I love the homeboy, Patrick McCaw, he's just holding the spot for Kevin Durant. You're not going to tell me that they're better with McCaw in the starting lineup than Kevin Durant. That's why you just got to know basketball. That's why you just got to watch the games. When people say that kind of stuff and people go, oh, you're not watching the games. You're not knowledgeable about the games. The only thing that will change is that there will be no Patrick McCaw on the floor. He will come off the bench. He's holding the spot. He's holding the spot for Kevin Durant. It does not affect anybody else on the floor. Don't be confused. Don't fall into the trap of, you know, it's gonna be an issue, you know, because I don't know what they're gonna do. Yeah, they're gonna win. They're gonna win. You know, they've won their last 12 games, and in their last 12 games, the cats that do it have been doing it. What do you mean? Okay, so in their last 12 games, this is what we have. They beat Philadelphia. Leading scorer was Steph. Then Clay. Then Steph. Then Clay. Then Clay. Then Steph. Then Clay. Then Steph. 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 Clay. In those games, without Kevin Durant, without Kevin Durant, in the last 12 games, they've scored 106, 122, 117, 111, 112, 114, 106, 113, 110, 107, 139, and 121. In those games, Steph didn't have to play in the fourth quarter against Washington on Sunday. He didn't play in the fourth quarter against Minnesota on yesterday. I mean, they giving them the business. Giving them the business. And let me just, like, Steph has also stepped up his assist game. So I think adding Kevin Durant, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. They got Phoenix tonight. Then they have New Orleans, Utah, and L.A. I see Kevin Durant playing Saturday and Sunday and not playing on Wednesday against Los Angeles. They probably will play none of their starters against Los Angeles on next Wednesday. I have a hard time believing that they will do that. It'll be home game, and they'll be gearing up for the playoffs. They will probably, the playoff schedule has not been out yet. I would hazard the guess to think that their round one game will be Sunday. That's what I think. I think that their round one game will probably be Sunday, probably Sunday evening, because if they play Portland, both of those are West Coast games, West Coast times. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm getting excited about the playoff push, about my Golden State Warriors, see what's going to happen. Change gears a bit. Let's talk about the NCAA tournament. Great Final Four. Great Final Four. You had the South Carolina team that was looking really, really good. You had Oregon that was looking really, really good. You had your North Carolina that was looking really, really good. And you had your Gonzaga. That all those four teams, none of those teams got into the Final Four, and you went, none of those teams, that there was no magical carpet ride. There was no Cinderella story. You know, you had power conferences with the exception of the West Coast Conference that Gonzaga comes out. So there was no, I don't know about this schedule. Gonzaga now, to be fair, Gonzaga did have the easiest path to the Final Four. But, you know, they only lost one game the entire year. Their second loss came in the finals. So it's still winning. They still won. So the Final Four was great. Final Four was great. Came down to our final game, which was Gonzaga against North Carolina. It was a horrible game to watch. It was very difficult to watch that game. The officials decided we're going to be in charge of the game. I think they got afraid. A lot of big bodies. They wanted to keep things under control. Look. You had two great coaches with Mark Few and Roy Williams. They weren't going to get out of control. Really good kids out of all those programs. Do you realize, I just saw this on Yahoo Sports, do you realize that the average age of the starters of the final game, so the five for Gonzaga and five for North Carolina, that the average age was 21 years old, 21 years, 8 months. Karl Anthony Towns is younger than, who's been in the league for, you know, 2 years, is younger than, was younger than the starting fives above teams. Is that not insane? That is insane. But that goes to show you that college basketball can survive with the one and done. There's some great players on both of those teams. I don't know what they're going to look like playing in the league. You know, Barry's is a smallish kid. I got to see some more about him. I think that Jackson kid, Josh Jackson, is going to ball out in the league. I think he is going to step his game up and be a little bit more in the pros than he has been in college. That game, you know, I felt bad for Karnowski, the big fella in the middle for Gonzaga. Looked like they got in his head. Once he picked up that fourth foul, he was pretty much out of it. He was 1 for 8 from the field. He was missing some bunnies, and that's where coaching comes in, because you got to make that kid keep shooting. You should have told him keep shooting. Williams-Goss did everything he could. He twisted an ankle. He still tried to play on it. Got that shot blocked. But man, that was the turning point. Karnowski picked up that fourth foul. Collins picked up that fourth foul. The freshman also there at Gonzaga, and they just kind of played a little more passive after that. And it was sad. They had a chance to. They were right there. They were right there. But North Carolina prevailed. Which was great to see, man. I enjoy watching the North Carolina team. I've been a North Carolina fan for a long time. And I love the way that Roy Williams coaches. I mean, I just love the way he coaches. One of the games in the tournament, they were down, and they said, "Roy, why didn't you call a timeout?" And he said, "We go through this scenario all the time. And in my last timeout, I said, if they score and it's under a certain amount of time, we're just going." And they end up winning that game. You know, that a coach puts your players in the position to win, and then the players win. Coaches don't overcoach. Great coaches don't overcoach. Great coaches don't overcoach. You look at the great ones of all time. Your Bill Belichick, he doesn't overcoach. He overprepares, but he doesn't overcoach. Steve Kerr, you may, whatever you think about Steve Kerr, Steve Kerr is going to go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time. He learned from two of the best, Popovich and from and Phil Jackson and Lute Olson when he was a player at Arizona. Look, he over-prepare. You over-prepare, and then you let the players play. They'll figure it out. Let the players play, and they'll figure it out. And that's why North Carolina was able to prevail. Both those teams played well. And I digress a bit because I wanted to draw some parallels between the men's final and the women's final. Had an opportunity to watch the women's final. I watched the end of that semifinal game with Mississippi State with Itty Bitty going Morgan Williams hitting the big shot. 5-4 over 5-11 hitting the big shot to beat UConn, take UConn out in their winning streak. And I watched in that game a coach letting the players play and then turn around in the final game. And even though he was going against Dawn Staley, who was letting their players play because she's a former player, he overcoached, took Itty Bitty out. He overcoached and they end up losing the game. Anytime you hear a coach say, "I took my best players out because I wanted to put some people in that had a little more, showed a little more effort," that's the words of a losing coach. Those are the words of the losing coach. That would be tantamount to the Super Bowl and when the New England Patriots were down 28-3. They were down 28-3. Bill Belichick taking Tom Brady out and saying, I decided to put some players in there that looked like they wanted to play, that could give me a little bit more effort. What kind of foolish stuff is that? Listen to that. Listen to that. Anytime you hear coaches say that, you know that that coach is soon to not be the coach. Soon to not be the coach, because what that means is I want the shine. I want to show you that I'm in charge. And I'm sorry, coaches, you're not on the floor. The kids are in charge. The professional players are in charge. You don't do nothing. You prepare. If you're a great coach, you over prepare your team. But all that effort, all those speeches and all that stuff, stop it. Stop it. When you have a coach that does that, that coach is a loser. There are a lot of unemployed coaches sitting on ESPN and sitting on Twitter and doing a whole lot of talking because you were that guy. I wanted to put some guys that were in there giving me a better effort. If you're not going to run my system, I want to see. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's what, so when you saw the NCAA and the men's side, you saw a great coach in Roy Williams who has done it at Kansas and turned around and done it at North Carolina. Is he one of the greatest coaches of all time in college basketball? Absolutely. 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 There's no question that he's one of the greatest coaches of all time in college basketball. Tip my cap to Roy Williams and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Shout out to Joel Berry from down there in Apopka, Florida. Down there in Apopka, Florida. For being the most outstanding player of the Final Four and excited about next college basketball season because you know what's going down. I'm not even going to go there yet because your head will explode when I tell you how excited I am about Coach Konzo Martin down at the University of Missouri and what's it's going to look like next year down in Columbia. Do not, please don't get me started talking about my Mizzou Tigers. M-I-Z. 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 For you non-Mizzou alum, you have no idea what I was just doing, but it was people all over the world shouting Z-O-U. I digress, though. I was about to get excited. I'm very, very excited, as you can see. Oh, my God, I'm excited about what's going to happen down at the University of Missouri next year with the college basketball program and with Konzo Martin leading that program. They've got a couple of kids who have decided to transfer. I'm going to go in more in depth as we get closer to the basketball season about what that what they're going to look like as far as the roster and who they have coming back and who they have. You already know about the big fish, but there's going to be some other large fish. There are a couple of kids. There's one kid that's a McDonald's All-America who's American, who's undecided, who is considering the University of Missouri. So here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So, yeah, congratulations to the North Carolina Tar Heels. Congratulations to the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks down at Don Staley. Tip of a hat to one of the great college basketball players of all time. Played in the Final Four, playing the U.S. Olympics, and now is coaching the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks and has taken them all the way to the top. I can't wait till next year. Can't wait till next year. They're losing a couple of their players to the WNBA, which is really, really interesting to see some of these girls leaving early. Also, they want to make that money too. So I'm excited about women's basketball next year. And I can't wait to see what the UConn Huskies, Lady Huskies, are going to look out like next year, coming off this loss and rebooting. And it's going to be something to see next year, even in women's basketball. So moving on, man. Moving on. Some big dealings going on in the National Football League. Yesterday it was announced that Tony Romo was retiring and taking a job with CBS Sports. He's going to be lead anchor, lead color guy, color commentary guy with Jim Nance in CBS's number one broadcasting team for the NFL. He booted out Phil Sims, former Super Bowl MVP, and from hailing from Moorhead State quarterback, booted him right out. I don't know what they're going to do with Phil. Maybe Phil will go down to the second team with Ian Eagle or any of those cats. But it's going to be interesting seeing Tony Romo doing the color commentary for the NFL, especially because a lot of the AFC matchups are on CBS, so it's going to be interesting to get his take on it. Here's my take on Tony Romo. Tony Romo, undrafted out of Eastern Illinois, up in Charleston, Illinois, undrafted out of Eastern Illinois. A guy that did a lot in the NFL. He had some great numbers, great plays that you can remember. I remember one time he beat the Rams. It was like a 4th-and-20, man. He ran 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage through the pass. It's horrible. That was the old Rams story. But Tony Romo's had some great games. But here's my take on Tony Romo as well as where he stands with Cowboy quarterbacks. I just want to talk about where he stands with Cowboy quarterbacks. Tony Romo is third at best when it comes to the history of the Dallas Cowboys as far as quarterback. The number one, of course, any one or two, you can flip them. My number one is going to be Troy Aikman. He won 3 championships out of 4 years. Troy Aikman. I don't care what you say. Troy Aikman. Okay? Troy Aikman. Number two, Roger, or one, depending on how you want to look at it. I was blessed to view both eras, so I can tell you that Roger Staubach was a bad man. I remember watching him. He used to give the business to the St. Louis Cardinals and to the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles and the old NFC East matchups that used to happen. So, man, look here. And then Tony Romo is right there. Now, people say, well, why was Tony Romo not number one or number two? Well, first of all, Tony Romo's not number one or number two. He never played an NFC championship game. That's one. Never played in the Super Bowl. Obviously, if he never played an NFC Championship game, he never played in the Super Bowl. Well, you have to look at the talent that they had. Yeah. Let's look at the talent. They had T.O. Couldn't make it there with T.O. Well, T.O. was in there. Yeah. Well, Philadelphia Eagles made it to the Super Bowl with T.O. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that okay? Yeah. So I don't want to hear any of those. Well, you know, he never, you know, this was coaching. Who was the coach who was his coach when he Bill Parcells? Yeah. Not coaching either. It was just Tony Romo, man. Tony Romo is third. That's not bad being third on America's team. Now, people are doing a lot of talking about he being a Hall of Famer. I can't see Tony Romo in the Hall of Fame. What is he going into the Hall of Fame as? As a good quarterback that never made it to the Super Bowl? Because there's a lot of good quarterbacks that never made it to the Super Bowl. To not make it to the Super Bowl, you got to be a great quarterback. You have to be tremendous. People are comparing him to Kurt Warner. There is no comparison to Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner took a perennial losing team in the St. Louis Rams. He took them to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. The following year, they went to the playoffs. The following year, they went back to the Super Bowl. He left the Rams, went to the Giants, was the quarterback until they decided they want to put Eli Manning in, who is also a Hall of Fame quarterback, so he got benched for a Hall of Famer. He goes to another perennial loser, the Arizona Cardinals, and what does he do? He takes the Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl. There is no comparison between Kurt Warner and Tony Romo. It's no comparison. Are you serious? They're not the same player. Well, Dan Marino never went to a Super Bowl. Yes, he did go to a Super Bowl, but he didn't. Dude, have you looked at Dan Marino's numbers? Well, it was a different NFL. Yes, it was a different NFL, and he was giving them the business. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. Dan Fouts never went to a Super Bowl. Dude, have you looked at Dan Fouts' numbers? Well, it was a different NFL. Yep, back then you could hold receivers. Have you looked at his numbers? That's why he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Stop it. Tony Romo was a good player. I wish him well in his offseason and his retirement, but he is not a Hall of Famer. Not even close. It's not a Hall of Great. It's the Hall of the Greatest. Well, is Drew Brees a Hall of Famer? Absolutely. He is. Look at his numbers. And what did he do? He won a Super Bowl. See, in the NFL, man, you either got to be really, really, really exceptional at your position, or you got to win a Super Bowl. Well, his numbers are better than Joe Namath. You're right. They are better than Joe Namath. But let me see. What did Joe Namath do? Oh, I know. He won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. You know, so you got to. Yes, Tony was great. He was great, man. But he's not a Hall of Famer. If they had a Hall of Good, he would be a first ballot Hall of Good. But he's not a Hall of Famer. You know, it's smart for him to leave the league right now. He's not Peyton Manning. He was not going to go to a team and lead that team to the Super Bowl, to two Super Bowls. He was not going to do that. He was not going to do that. So I wish him luck, but please don't tell me that Tony Romo is a Hall of Famer. Is he a Cowboys Hall of Famer? Absolutely. Should he be in the Ring of Honor? I don't have any problem with him being in the Ring of Honor. If Jerry want to put him in the Ring of Honor, I don't have any problem with that. Is he a Pro Football? Is he a Hall of Fame quarterback? No, he's not. He's not close to a Hall of Fame quarterback. So wish him well. wish him great success in the offseason. But yeah, so it's going to be interesting watching him do what he does. I'm excited to see and to listen to him break down the NFL. I want to see how he, since he's going to be so close to playing, I would like to see how he does, how he relates to players, how critical he is of players. You know, you have to be very careful as a player not to be overcritical, because what players ultimately do is compare themselves to you. So if you say somebody should have did something or should have did that, they're going to always say, well, you know, who are you to talk? So that's where he's going to have issue. For the average Joe and Jane who are listening and watching the NFL games, they're going to enjoy it. You know, and it's mighty funny. You know, I heard this, somebody say this the other day, and I didn't think about that. You know, for those who hate on the Cowboys and say they're not America's team, man, look here. The Cowboys are America's team. They're America's team. And right now, Jerry Jones has to be sitting somewhere with a little whiskey in his cup, maybe a little cigar, saying, I'm living the life. You got a team with two guys going in their second year. One of them is Rookie of the Year and Dak Prescott, getting ready to go into the next year, ready to roll, ready to take a run at the Super Bowl. You have on Fox Troy Aikman on the number one team, Dallas quarterback. You have on CBS Tony Romo on the number one team, Dallas Cowboy quarterback. Then you look at the NFL Network, and two of the players that are their main guys who give opinion, Michael Irvin, Cowboy, Deion Sanders, and you can say, well, he's an Atlanta Falcon, or he's a 49er, or he's a Washington Redskin, or he's a Baltimore Raven. Nah, when you think prime, you either think Atlanta or you think Cowboys. So he's doing pretty well. The Cowboys are doing pretty well in representation across the board when it comes to the NFL. So, man, it's going to be really exciting. The NFL draft is coming up in a few weeks. We're going to have a show in a couple of weeks that it will be specifically that week, that Wednesday before the draft. I'm going to specifically talk about the breakdown of the first round, about those guys. So if you're a football head and you really want me to get, you want to hear some nuts and bolts in, yeah, we're going to talk about that. A lot of those players I saw play, I watch a lot of football. So, you know, one thing I do to make sure I keep myself informed for my listeners and for my viewers when I do the live broadcast, video of the broadcast, is that I want to stay informed. Once we open up these phone lines, it's coming pretty soon. I'm going to have a big announcement about that soon. Once we open up these phone lines, I want to be informed. I just don't want to come out and shoot you some stats. I want to give you some information, some stuff that I've seen, my eyes, some notes that I've taken. You know, I will reference the top guys. I will always reference the top guys and give them the love that comes with them putting in the work. But I do some work, too. I put in some work, too. I put in some work because I want to be knowledgeable, and I want to give you all the best that I can get. If you're going to take the time to listen to my show, I want to make sure I take the time to prepare for the show and give you what you need. As Diddy says, we proceed to give you what you need. All right, man. Moving on. St. Louis Cardinals. Baseball Cardinals. St. Louis Baseball Cardinals started their season on Sunday night with a big win against the Chicago Cubs. Man, when that dude hit that home run to tie it up, my heart dropped. I was like, "Lest we cannot lose this game." But Grichuk came back after hitting the home run earlier, came back, hit the ball to left all the way to the wall. We win. And Martinez had 10 strikeouts. Shout out to Mike Matheny for making Carlos Martinez the opening day starter. Shout out to passing that torch. And win that first game, man. I like the way they look. I'm liking Dexter Fowler in center field. I don't know what I think about Matt Carpenter playing playing at first base, man. I don't know what I feel about that. I don't know how I like that. Colton Wong is not hitting. That bothers me. I know it's early, and I may be overreacting, but it just bothers me. It really bothers me. The offense is anemic. They only scored one run yesterday. In that game on Sunday, they left a lot of runners in scoring position. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We'll see some moves, see if they shake some things up, maybe move Matt Adams back to first base full time. I move Carpenter over there to second base, and I will just see what happens. They got to do something about that infield. I'm not getting what I want with Grichuk and Piscotty. They're doing some great things. I like what they're getting. Shout out some love to Stephen Piscotty. That boy took a beating in one in half inning, hit on the arm, hit on the side, hit in the head. But as of airtime, he's been cleared. Concussion protocol, he's been cleared, so he should be fine. Shout out to the Cardinals, Bill DeWitt, giving those extensions to Yadier Molina and to Stephen Piscotty, buying out Piscotty's arbitration year and first year free agency, and giving Yadi the money that he deserves. Look, there are a lot of St. Louis fans that were upset when Albert Pujols left. I was one of them. I don't blame that on the Cardinals. I blame that on Pujols thinking he was going to get something in L.A. that he has not gotten. He went from being the best player in baseball to just being a guy. I would love to see them make a trade and bring him back to St. Louis. Though, I don't get it confused. I would love to see him over there at first base. But in paying Yadier Molina, they did what they needed to do. Yadi has given everything to the St. Louis Cardinals. He deserves the money that he's gotten from the Cardinals. His three-year extension, I believe, is a little over $60 million. He deserves that money. And what did Yadi do? He comes out being Yadi. Yadi being Yadi. Hitting the ball, playing that stellar defense. Yadi being Yadi. So shout out to the Cardinals for giving him that extension. Shout out to the Cardinals for locking down Piscotty, getting that young talent under contract, making the move, bringing Dexter Fowler in to play that center field. I like that kid. He's already got commercials. It's been a long time since we've seen Cardinals on commercials. He's got a great commercial. I believe it's a Verizon commercial. It's I'm excited about what the Cardinals are doing on the field and off the field. The game today was postponed because of the weather here in St. Louis. If you're listening to this in real time on Wednesday, not in real time, but in the day of the taping, which would be Wednesday. The Cardinals game today has been postponed to tomorrow because of incoming rain. So it's got a little fluke in the schedule with these with this extra off day. I like to see the Cardinals go ahead and take 2 out of 3 from the Chicago Cubs just start off the season. And so we go into that first weekend of the season with the Cardinals looking up at the Cardinals, as they should always. I know you Cubs fans out there really excited about, oh, we won last year. We have 11. Yeah. The Cardinals have 11. 11. They're only one team with more world championships in baseball, and that's the New York Yankees. So just want to keep everything in perspective for those Cubs fans that get real excited because they won last year. We have 11. So you're 10 away. You're close. But at the current rate, it took you over 100 years to get your second. So, yeah, it's going to be a problem catching up to us. And so, you know, another 1,000 years, maybe. little shot at the Cubs. So, yeah, man, so that's our show for today. I'm so glad that you've taken your time out to listen to us. I'm excited about what's going on with baseball, starting with football, going into the draft, with the NBA going into their silly season, the NBA playoffs, the NBA draft coming up in June. A lot of spring football going on. I'll be going down to Columbia next week for the spring game for the Missouri Tigers, MIZZOU. So we'll be talking about that next week. A lot of great stuff coming up. Keep listening. Keep shouting us out. Keep sending us emails. I love hearing from you guys. I love when you tweet at me. The email box has been full every Thursday after people get a chance to listen. You can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to us on SoundCloud. You can hit me up at aanderson7musicgroup.com if you got an email for me. Shout out at me. You can hit me up on Facebook. I'm out there. Look me up. Look up 7 Live on Facebook. 7 Live is our home of the radio show on Facebook and for our videos of the show and other videos that we'll be adding. So you got to look us up and you got to hit us up. If it's something I'm not talking about you want to hear, hit me up. If it's a subject that you want me to touch on, hit me up. If you agree with me, let me know. If you disagree, you can let me know that too. Nothing like a little hot, heated debate. And I'm looking forward to making the big announcement soon about opening this thing up so that you all can call me during the show and we can have a talk. I'm looking forward. Going to do some Facebook Live stuff coming up real soon. So be looking for that. Thank you for listening to 7 Time Sports. I'm your host, Al Anderson. Look for me next week. Be watching out on all the outlets that I gave you for some exciting news coming up soon. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Thanks for listening. God bless.